Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is out there for anyone listening. I'm Corey Lowe. I'm from Chicago. Let's begin. Now, on February 7th, 2023, I had the pleasure of interviewing a Miss Linda Steele. She's in the fitness world. She's all about fitness and mental health. She has a rich history in fitness and exercising. She's a personal trainer now. She used to own gyms. She's had a very good, successful career and owns businesses as well here in the Chicagoland. I got to sit down and talk to her for a little bit. This is the interview you're going to hear today. As always, please like, share, and if you have prayer requests, please reach out to me. Enjoy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. For anyone listening out there, I just want to say hello, and I hope you're doing well. Welcome to the Guard Your Heart podcast. I'm Corey Lowe, and today it is my honor to have Linda Steele here, a fitness expert, not just of the body, but of the mind as well. A lady with a very kind, strong heart, with a story to tell that was not supposed to rhyme, but it did. Welcome today, Linda.
Thank you, Corey. Thanks for having me on. I'm honored.
All right. The honor is all mine. Now, just a little backstory. She reached out to me because she wanted to talk about trauma and overcoming trauma and dealing with it and how to actually turn that into a strength. This is the Guard Your Heart podcast. And as you all know, I'm all about dealing with trauma. I'm all about coping and trying to improve and reach out and be better. So Linda, with that being said, what is some of your experience with trauma that would even make you study and focus in this area?
You know, Corey, I have childhood trauma. It goes way back. And we can't help but bring our childhood trauma into our adult relationships because trauma is there with us all the time. It never really goes away. We learn how to work alongside it. We learn how to adapt. We learn how to manage, but it's always there. And what I found throughout my years of life was that my childhood trauma seemed to follow me into my adult relationships. I seemed to have a pattern of behavior and get myself into situations that turned, you know, unhealthy and toxic in some situations, in some instances, I should say. And I had to somehow dig my way out of them once I got my way into them because I realized that it was just, you know, more than I can handle. So, you know, I work with people. I'm a fitness expert, as you mentioned, and I have a clientele that I've built up over the last almost two decades. And I have one thing in common with all of my clients. We all have our own stories and we all have our own trauma and BS that we have to work alongside. And, you know, how do we do it? How do we still maintain our jobs and be good at what we do? How do we still maintain being a good mom or a good dad? How do we maintain relationships with our family, our friends? Right. It could be very difficult. So I just thought that, you know, since I'm giving this advice to clients hour by hour by hour, because it's, you know, we don't just work out and talk about nutrition. We actually, you know, talk about life too while we're, you know, in each other's presence. And I thought I would get my story on paper. I wound up writing a book called Nerves of Steel. And it's my story. It's my memoir. And I talk about and I focus on childhood trauma, how we have to deal with it and how it becomes manageable. What's the easiest way to manage it? And what I have found throughout my experience and my clients' experience is that when you start eating clean and you start working out regularly and you start taking care of your body, you start taking care of your mind. And when you can think clearly and you have really good self-worth and really good self-esteem, you start making some really hard decisions that need to be made in order to advance you in life, in order to keep yourself healthy.
Okay. Now, why exactly do you say, did you just say that it you start taking care of your mind after you start, changing up your diet and, exercising? What's the correlation?
Well, there are chemical reactions that go on in the body when you start exercising, resistance training and working your cardiovascular system, that actually, for brain health. And there are different hormonal changes that go on in the body as well. And, because of the makeup of our body and our brain, the way that all works, your body gets into a nice balance. And you actually start to feel good and you start to be able to focus much better and you see things more clearly. So there is a definite connection between working out, eating clean, and your well-being, your healthy mental state.
Okay. Now, when did you realize that you were in a cycle, an unhealthy cycle, as you mentioned earlier? Because I noticed you said that you were just doing the same kind of the same things, bringing into your adult relationships. At what point did you realize that you were in that negative cycle that needed to be addressed and changed?
Unfortunately, once I was in too deep in a couple instances, and that's because the toxicity and the unhealthy part of it sneaks up on you. Depending on the kind of person that you attract, they sometimes will see a vulnerable person who is in a position where they might need rescuing, or they may need a change of pace or something, and you wind up really getting attached to that, getting dependent, I should say, on somebody who is treating you very well and doing really good things for you, satisfying your needs in a bunch of different ways. And it's hard to break away from that because some of these types of people, along with the good comes the bad. And you wind up spending a lot of time weighing that out and you try to figure out, is the, like the risk to benefit kind of thing. And you start to, try to talk yourself into or out of certain situations based on the person that they used to be or the good things that they once did for you. And so, it's just easy to get stuck into situations. So, but once, like I said, once you start recognizing it and you start putting things in a perspective, or I guess I should say, once you start working out, eating clean, you can more easily put things into perspective and start making decisions.
And how hard was it for you personally once you realized that you needed to get out of that situation?
Extremely. Each situation of mine was very difficult. But I will tell you this, as life's gone on, it's become easier. And I think it's because my first situation that I had to get out of, I had to create a 5-year plan. That's how long it took me to get out because there were little children involved. There were a financial situation involved. I didn't have a job. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I didn't have I had not completed my college degree yet, and so I had to make a plan to get myself in shape, get my college degree finished, get my little ones in school so that I can get a job and support myself. And that was a very difficult and scary changeover for me. And there were a lot of people disappointed because of it, because I was breaking up this, what appeared to be a beautiful family. So that was my first plan. That was my first escape, and it was very, very difficult.
I'm actually glad you just said that because that leads me to my next question. I know that sometimes people are dealing with things and they can't necessarily express it, and sometimes they may try to, but take me for example. I would be on the outside. I wouldn't really understand what you're going through. What would you advise somebody like me who sees potential trauma in somebody else? Like, how could I help them or just be there for them? What would you say?
That is a fantastic question because a lot of people just want to go, why don't you just leave them? What is the big deal? Just get out of it. because it seems so easy, but it's not. There are usually so many different variables and so many different factors to take into consideration, and only the people involved are the ones who really know it. The best advice I can give you in a situation like that, Corey, is that you just be there for the person, because what the person ultimately needs is a really good support group. If they can get enough people supporting them, they will feel a little bit more brave, and they'll be able to do what they know they have to do. It's embarrassing to ask for help, so it's going to be unusual for someone to ask you. But if you say, without even saying, you don't even have to say, hey, your boyfriend's a jerk, or your wife's a, you know what. You don't even say that. All you have, it's like two people in the room. We both know what's going on. Really, all you have to say is, when you need me, I'm going to be here for you. And you can count on me for whatever it is. If you need me for money, if you need me for a place to stay, if you need me to, just to talk to, bounce ideas off of, I will be here for you. And they'll know exactly what you mean by that.
Wow, that's good. You know, unfortunately, I find it rather, I don't want to say depressing, but just really, I just feel really sad sometimes when I think about how in this day and age, something like that is still an issue where it's really hard for people to get support. And even if they're getting support, it's almost unhealthy sometimes where they're beating down the victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It's hard to get, again, it's hard to get support because some people don't want to get involved. They don't want to offer, money, or they can't offer money. They don't want to offer a place to stay. And that's no problem. I mean, I don't necessarily want to bring anybody into my home either if they're trying to escape from a bad situation. But sometimes people just need to know that they do have someone in case they need you. That's really it. Again, building a support group was a crucial part of me being able to escape the situations that I was in.
So in your line of work, have you had many opportunities where, after the workouts are done or things like that, they talk to you, your clients, and they share with you potential personal problems?
Every day. Almost every hour of every day. There have been, I can't even count on both hands in my career, how many times a client has walked in the door for their hour to work out. They'll come into my office, sit down in a chair, talk, cry, yell, scream, laugh, whatever, and we never lift one weight. It happens more often than you think. And that's just part of, and they still feel better when they leave. They felt like they lifted weights and did cardio when they haven't done a thing. They've just gotten some things off their chest, maybe sorted through a problem or a situation. And it happens more often than you think.
Right. Do you feel like they trust you, or they just need to say it to anybody, or what kind of compels them to people to open up sometimes?
I know they trust me. Being a personal trainer, the word personal in there is not there by accident. You get a connection with your clients, and it doesn't usually happen overnight, but I tend to be very approachable with my clients. And when they tell me things, I don't judge them. I never judge them, because I know, there are things, again, variables that I don't know of. So if I have a client who comes in and tells me that they're cheating on their spouse, I will never judge them. I will also never judge if a client comes in and says their spouse is cheating on them. I won't judge their spouse, because, and they know that, and they know that I would never talk bad or think bad about anybody involved. And I have people who come to me about their children. Their adult children are making horrible decisions, and I would never talk bad about their children. I just, try to listen and give some advice and try to think in my lifetime when I had to endure that, or if I have a cousin or a friend, or in what they did and what helped them. And that's the best I could do. I try to draw parallels so that they don't feel so isolated and so different than everybody else. That's probably one of the reasons that they come to me.
Yeah, I've found that people like to talk to someone who can relate. I found that that's really happened to be really helpful.
Yeah.
I know you and I have just talked about things, and I've shared, if you've listened to my episodes before, viewers, you've heard about some of the things that I've gone through and some of my even recent tragedies. And, you know, it has been a comfort just to be able to share some of these things with you, Linda. And so, you know, not everybody gets a chance to say it, so I can say it for them. You know, just thank you for listening and being able to hear some of those things and hear even some of my stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's so tragic. You know, I've used this example before. My mom said this to me one time when I was having a bad moment. And she said, believe me, you wouldn't want anybody else's problems. I know your problems seem awful right now and they aren't easy. But she said to me, if everybody took their problems and held them in their hands and stood in a circle and held them in their hands so everybody else could see them, if they all threw them up in the air, you'd try to catch your own. You don't want anybody else's problems.
Oh, as definitely.
Bad, right? As bad as your life is, as bad as your problems are, and the things that you're trying to overcome, at least you know you can manage them. Most everybody's are manageable. They may not always seem manageable, but they're manageable. And you look at other people's and there's, you know, rarely do you want anybody else's problems.
Absolutely. You know, sneak peek, the next episode I do will be The Grass Is Not Greener, because I've been thinking about this very same thing for a while.
Yes, I love that.
Life is not easy, but it's my life, and I don't want to live somebody else's life and deal with what they got to deal with.
Somebody once said to me, the grass might look greener, but it's just as hard to cut.
Yep.
You can use that.
Okay, so back to it now. So, Ms. Steele, how long have you been in this fitness world and doing this type of work?
I've been in the fitness industry since about 2003, 2004. And I started at, I'm in Chicago, and there was a national chain called Bally's, which is now LA Fitness. That's where I started. I was there. That's where I started my career. I was there for about 6 years. Within a couple years, I wound up being their top female trainer nationwide. Out of 4,500 trainers, I ranked number two overall, but number one female. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And it was because when I took my career, I learned how to train. I learned how to get my body in shape. It was part of my 5-year plan when I was going through my divorce, getting myself into shape. So I took this training program that I learned from my trainer, and I not only use it on myself, but then I use it on my clients, and everybody loved the results. And so they were coming back to me. My schedule is getting full. I had a 3-month waiting list on my schedule back then. And I was there about 6 years, and then I went on my own and I started my own LLC under a different club. I just kind of rented space. I started training trainers and placing them at other chains that they had in the Chicagoland area. And then after about 2 years of that, I brought all my trainers under one roof. I opened up my own gym in Elk Grove. And then 3 years later, I opened up my second gym, and then I sold one, I closed one, and here I am today.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you still have your own gym now?
I don't. I just recently sold it, but I still train there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so everybody walks in the door, and they still come and ask me questions. And here, I'd like to buy a protein shake, and they still hand me the cash. But I pass it off to the manager and the other staff. But I'm still the face at that gym. I've been there since 2010, so everybody in the community knows me there.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay. So question: what have you noticed when it comes to men dealing with trauma versus women dealing with trauma?
I am so glad you mentioned that. This should be its own personal podcast. Men do not feel as comfortable as women do discussing anything mental health related, and it's not fair. And I'm going to say it, and I don't care who doesn't like it. It's not fair. Men and women endure a lot of the same things. Some women are going to disagree with that, but I work with 50% male clientele. Mm-hmm. I know what goes on in their minds. I know what goes on in their lives. They go through the same stuff we do. They have the same challenges at work. And a woman's going to say, no, we don't get paid as much as they do. They have the same challenges at work. They are passed over for promotions just like we are. They have to negotiate their salaries just like we do. They have to be held at standards sometimes even higher than women do in certain situations. And it's difficult for them. They also have to take their whatever trauma is going on in their household at the time, and they have to go to work. And if a man goes to work after having an argument with his girlfriend or his wife, and he sits at his desk and he cries, what do you think is going to happen to that man? Versus if a woman goes to work and she sits at her desk and cries, that's completely acceptable.
Yeah, she gets comfort and he'll get clowned.
Yep. So a man is forced to stuff it down, pretend it's not happening. They have to, work through it with, whatever means they have. And it's very difficult. I don't think that it's fair the way that men are expected to, handle their mental health, and how women are, how it's acceptable on either side.
So how do you get men to open up more, considering circumstances have made them more stubborn to open up?
You know what? I think I just explained it to them just like that. I let them know if I feel a problem going on, I'll usually draw it out of them by saying just that. It's really unfair that you're not able to talk about it. It's, the fact that you don't feel safe talking about it is, completely beyond unfair. And, just knowing that I'm there, that I understand that, they usually will tell me some things. A lot of men, they get very insecure about things with, their significant others, and they're not allowed to talk about it because it makes them look weak. But what I wish they would realize that if they would come to, say, their significant other or whatever, and say, babe, when you do that, it really makes me uncomfortable, and it makes me kind of sad, or it makes me feel, unworthy or whatever. If a woman heard that, she would be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize it. But instead, a man will usually come across as being kind of a jerk because it's bothering him, but he can't process it and figure out a way to express himself because it's unacceptable.
Right.
And for the most part. So it turns out you get into situations that, you sometimes can't dig your way out of because you don't have enough nerve to say, hey, it makes me insecure when you do that. It makes me uncomfortable when you do that.
Okay, so how did you learn? Because the way that I learned that expressing yourself, you should always express yourself, respectfully, of course, but you should express yourself. The way that I learned is probably different from the way that you learned. Like, I kind of have a little bit of a morbid sense of humor sometimes. So because I've dealt with a lot of death, I've lost my parents. I've lost friends. They've died. So I've seen the end of life. So I've learned to just live my best life and to be open and express, because after this, you're gone. Mm-hmm. But how did you learn that it's important for both men and women to, express themselves and just share what's inside of them?
You know what? I learned firsthand because my last relationship ended because of the same thing that we just discussed. The Linda Steele persona was something that was a little bit more than he could handle. And he thought he could handle it going into it. And then once he got into it, he realized that it was a little bit more difficult. But he had a really hard time telling me that. Instead, like I said, he would kind of misbehave and act a certain way that would make me not want to be around him. And so I ended things. And it wasn't until, this is something I'll read about in my book, I don't want to spoil any part of my book, but it wasn't until he realized that he could handle things a better way that we were able to talk about things in a different way. And when he was able to open up and look, take a look within and realize that he had to manage things differently, it made me do the same thing. I never realized that I did anything wrong. I'm Linda freaking Steele. That's what everybody always told me, and I believed them. And so, but when I had failed relationship after failed relationship after failed relationship, I started thinking, well, maybe it is me. That's weird. So it made me take a look within. It made me really appreciate the fact that he came forward and recognized some of the things that he could have done differently. And if more men and women could do that, my gosh, we could have some really healthy relationships.
There have been a lot of good lessons and just a lot of good words said today. Linda Steele, I just want to thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. And for all those listening, as you know, I like to end in prayer. It's my show. So as always, let's end in prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you for my guest today. And for all those listening, I just pray, Lord God, for continued safety and peace and for health, healing, and love to continue to grow. Let that continue to be the center of her platform, and let a lot of people just be touched and be healed and grow mentally and emotionally through her, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Corey.